Mordor Intelligence estimates that the Asia-Pacific data center market at around 14,270 megawatts in 2024, predicting it to reach 23,200 megawatts by 2029. Now, JLL projects continued increase in rack density, particularly among hyperscalers, in response to the growing demand for computational power. With sustainability and climate change high on the agenda for many businesses, perhaps a multi-pronged challenge of data centers is meeting customers' net zero emissions goals and their own targets. What can data center operators do to save energy while keeping equipment operating on optimum environments? This is the subject of our podcast for Future CIO Dialogue today. Joining us is Mr. Terry Miaolo, Vice President and General Manager for Asia Pacific at OBH Cloud, to talk to us about operational strategies to meet sustainable data centers. Terry, welcome to Podcast for Future CIO.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks for having me.
Now, let's step back a bit. Give us a state of the data center in Asia Pacific today.
Well, very much like the rest of the world, Alan, the businesses in the area are taking on digital transformation at breakneck speed. The necessity for big compute that comes with AI and the Internet of Things is placing the whole industry under a lot of pressure. And, the data centers in the whole Asia Pacific region are growing significantly. In fact, they're predicted to reach or grow by another 12% compounding by 2027, reaching 48 billion. The primary targets within the region appear to be Sydney, Singapore, and Tokyo. And Singapore and Tokyo, interestingly, are under a particular pressure because of their vacancy rates. Their vacancy rates at the moment, in fact, less than 2%. And Singapore remains the primary target for a lot of businesses because of the undersea cables, that connectivity that comes into Singapore and connecting into other key regions. And that still remains a significant part of the investment to make sure that Singapore remains as a key target. And in fact, the government has said that they would invest another 10 billion Sing in doubling the amount of subsea cables. Now, despite the superior connectivity in Singapore, the biggest challenges actually remain with power, water, and space. There are some other emerging markets in the region, being Thailand, Malaysia, and Indonesia, which, although they are emerging, they are coming forward as a viable solution. And in fact, Indonesia, just 5 years ago, themselves were at 40 megawatts, and they're now consuming nearly 200 megawatts as of today. So in order for Singapore to remain the most viable choice, this topic of sustainability and with the resources that are in high demand and low supply, Singapore needs to certainly look to its providers to be more efficient in how they compute and process all of this data.
Now, focusing specifically on the operational aspects of data centers, what would you say are the key environmental issues that all data center operators must overcome?
The way I see it is that there are three main components. They are energy, water, and space. Data centers consume vast amounts of electricity to process, store, and just manage all of that information. Doing all of that on a server generates vast amounts of heat. As a result, the keeping all of those elements cool and operating is also a big contributing factor to certainly to the energy consumption. It's said that data center consumes about 50 times more power and energy than a normal or typical commercial office space. So it is a significant concern. What is, as you operate in the areas around the equator, the high temperatures and the humidity also produce some additional challenges. And it puts a lot of strain, particularly on traditional air conditioning, where you're having to cool the entire room, not just the servers as such. There's an additional complexity of, humidity and so forth. This makes it particularly challenging. And the traditional cooling or the water usage, moving on to the next point, it is said that cooling systems that rely on evaporative style of cooling for a 1 megawatt data center can actually consume 25 million liters of water per year. Concerningly, the hyperscalers are reporting there is an upswing in this consumption due to the higher compute that's both needed and available to the technologies such as AI. And then finally, as mentioned earlier, is the limited space, especially in places such as Singapore and Hong Kong. Singapore's vacancy rate is the lowest in the market, and Hong Kong actually competes for that same density for its high population. So there are other considerations such as, you know, residential and commercial considerations for the population at large. So that puts pressure on perhaps generating other green sites, which has its own environmental impacts when you're clearing sites.
Someday people will have to figure out how do we put a data center in the ocean to keep
or at least reuse potentially other buildings that are no longer used for other traditional purposes. So that's also another way, brown side.
Now, you mentioned the word AI just a while ago. Now, analysts predict a spike in the adoption of AI, and we've seen governments, whether it's in Thailand, Singapore, Hong Kong, almost everywhere around the region, including Australia, proposing, if not accelerating, national AI strategies. For data center operators, particularly in Asia, how are they responding to this demand? And at the same time, how do you see them fine-tuning their operations so that they can remain on point when it comes to their own net zero emissions targets?
It's a complex question, that one, and it is, look, by and large, the adoption of AI and the complexities that brings with it does, in fact, put a significant amount of pressure on the DC operators. It's predicted that 73% of all of the AI compute and the AI workloads, etc., will be in the cloud by 2026. It's not necessarily the sort of thing that organizations would choose on-premise. So whilst all of this compute and these desired resources is highly required, it does put a lot of pressure on and contributes a lot to carbon emissions. In fact, a Stanford study found that GPT-3 produced 502 tons of carbon emissions in 2022. It estimates that AI will consume 134 terawatt hours of electricity per year. Interestingly, that's about the same as the Netherlands. Puts all of these things into scale. But I think DC operators need to consider all of their practices, not just energy consumption, because this puts pressure on the whole cycle, the different sorts of materials that they might use within their data centers and their racks, etc., their manufacturing processes, how much of that do they own, you know, utilizing newer and more efficient chips, and also applying those same methodologies to network infrastructure. The other common things that we know about, you know, reuse and repurpose and recycle, etc., that's they're all critical elements, because this is an industry that can produce a lot of waste and a big carbon footprint. Transportation and having control of the entire cycle. And I think organizations and governments and the community at large is a lot more aware of these sorts of elements. And there is a demand about being significantly more transparent with what an organization's chosen cloud partner is producing in terms of their carbon footprint, you know, because we're also held to account. If we take in all the factors of sustainability, we need to look at our suppliers as well. You know, and the businesses themselves are put under pressure. You know, last year, Singapore introduced ES Genome, which is an initiative aimed at creating a unified disclosure tool, simplifying the sustainability reporting for listed companies. There probably needs to be put some common practices put in place so that we begin comparing apples with apples as such. But there's no doubt that businesses will give a lot more consideration to the cloud providers who are more sustainably responsible. So the industry needs to take note.
Given that, so you've covered what the consumers of cloud services also are turning their attention to data center operators and, you know, the hyperscalers in terms of their requirements. Presumably part of that is to meet their own sustainability goals or targets that the chief executives of these companies have put up there. For data center operators and hyperscalers, what is your recommendation for them to stay ahead and on course around sustainability practices while at the same time supporting new business needs and new opportunities such as AI?
Well, today businesses are looking for providers that do prioritize, you know, data sovereignty, sustainability, and interoperability. So I'll dive into a couple of those a little bit. So data sovereignty is, and certainly through some recent issues across different countries and different organizations in our region and some different data breaches, etc., has certainly come to the fore. And it is countries and governments being, you know, really questioning how the data should be managed. And a lot of them are introducing across APAC some more stringent localization requirements or regulations that require the organizations to store and process data within the borders. Indonesia, Vietnam, and India, they're all prime examples. And this can be particularly for an organization operating across multiple countries in the region, this can be a really confronting regulatory landscape. And the providers who operate aligned with the GDPR or General Data Protection Regulation, they can best ensure that data sovereignty and protection against extraterritorial regulations are met. Likewise, providers with multiple locations in the region are also positioned to help organize the businesses themselves be more stable and secure and know that they are, they have the capability to meet with the different regulations. So sustainability is another key factor, as we've been discussing. Some time ago, it really was only three pillars. It was price, performance, and scalability. Can they scale with me, etc. So once where the stool was held up by three legs, there now certainly appears to be a fourth, and that is sustainability being that key factor. Interestingly, some organizations are in fact placing it higher up and as a greater consideration than some of those other three pillars. But of course, the providers that can meet sustainability and be the best option from a sustainability perspective and be a very, very strong choice from a price, performance, and scalability perspective really puts themselves at the fore. So that's a good way for them to lead. And the other element was interoperability that I mentioned. And that is a lot of the hyperscalers that are driven by maximizing their revenues typically operate within a very closed ecosystem. So they use their own APIs for managing a lot of those cloud resources. And this makes transitioning to an alternative, another cloud provider, etc., very, very complex and presents a situation where great resources, both of time and intellect, can be consumed. And this becomes very expensive. You've got people that you need to find people that can rewrite a lot of these tools, for lack of a better term. So this is critical for businesses too. The world is changing faster than it ever has before. With that in mind, the freedom to move or pursue different opportunities, potentially with different providers, etc., and businesses wanting, I believe, will want more freedom. So providers should avoid locking people in to the proprietary tools, and businesses should avoid being locked in to those different proprietary tools because it will make moving a lot more difficult.
Noted in that one. Now, in all of this dialogue that we've had so far, what does OVH Cloud bring to the table?
We've been very, very connected from a sustainability perspective, and also the other perspective of freedom. Our sustainability and the way that OVH has tackled this can probably be the first pillar that we can attribute to this is a proprietary way in which we cool our data centers, or in fact, cool the servers themselves, because it is an interesting approach. We don't cool the entire data center where we cool all of the air inside the data center. We have a proprietary system in which we cool the components that are generating the heat. So we cool the chips themselves and the different components of the network gear, etc., that generate that heat. And we use a closed system of water that cools those components, goes out through a chiller, is then cooled again. So it's a circulatory system. So a server generally is cooled by about a glass of water. So therefore, it's not water cooling or evaporative style of cooling, which, as I said, a 1 megawatt data center can consume 25 million liters of water. It's in fact a glass of water that is keeping that server cool. Interestingly, as a result of that, there's actually no air conditioning required. We don't need to cool the air in the room because the cool space is around the server, and that, interestingly, in turn, cools the room. So what this leads to is a power efficiency usage, which is some 35% less than what the industry average is, because our water is on a closed loop. The and uses just the glass, as I said earlier. Our water consumption is about 85% less than the industry average. And that there's the first pillar. We also own the whole cycle. We reuse, we recycle. We are in charge of a lot of the manufacturing processes and how we ship and maneuver all of these resources into our different data centers. So, and this is something we've been doing at scale for 20 years. So the other factor that I need to point out about this is that because we're cooling the componentry itself, we're actually able to get more density. We're able to put more servers into the same amount of space. And typically, that can be significantly more. So we're answering those three key components. Singapore, if you will, being a key site because of all of its connectivity through those undersea cables, and its issues being power, water, and space. Okay. So that's what we believe we bring to the table. We're a superior provider from that perspective, and you've got somewhere that's got constrained space, and the compute, the demand on compute is ever increasing, and you've got another factor such as the Singapore government, who's put a cap on the amount of power it's making available to data centers after discovering that data centers were using 7% of all the power. So if you've put a cap on that and the providers need to bid for it, the only way for them to grow and as an organization is to they're being forced into a situation where they need to be more sustainable and more efficient. So if they want to grow, they need to get on board.
Mel, do you have any questions for Terry?
Yes, Terry, for data centers wanting to be more sustainable, what can be their first practical step towards their journey to sustainability?
Look, I can only refer to, and I a little bit perplexed as to why others haven't pursued this, but we made a big commitment. Our organization, our founder, et cetera, made a significant commitment to this type of technology a long, long time ago. So, one of the biggest factors of this power consumption does appear to be cooling, and cooling is something that there is the potential for other options. The reality is that the compute and also that other pressures, the demand of the market will continue to grow. So, the pressure is for us providers and us as an industry as a whole, we need to be very, very conscious of that and do better, be better at all of those elements.
If we have to summarize everything that we've discussed, what would you say will be the things that will be important as far as the data center and the market is concerned, the landscape, the competitive landscape, and what should customers of these data center operators be aware of as they start to navigate the options that they have available in terms of who to partner with or who to go with in terms of meeting their connectivity, compute, and sustainability requirements in the years ahead?
Look, I think the trajectory is taking us towards, additional considerations within the industry, both for if it's important to customers, it is to obviously the providers. But traditionally, price, performance, and scalability were the three key factors. And there is a fourth being sustainability. And in fact, many CEOs of large organizations make significant statements about how important sustainability is and would often place it in front of those other three pillars. I believe is the factor of biggest change that we is upon us now and certainly into the future.
Terry, thank you for joining us on Podcast for Future CIO.
Thank you for having me, Alan. It was great chat.
That was Terry Melo, VP and General Manager for Asia Pacific at OVH Cloud on operational strategies to meet sustainable data centers. You are listening to Podcast for Future CIO. As always, if you have a topic you'd like us to cover on this channel, simply email us at editors@society.com. We'd also like to invite you to sign up for a free weekly newsletter so you won't miss an episode of Podcast for Future CIO. In the meantime, stay safe, have a great day, and see you on the next episode of Podcast for Future CIO. Bye for now.